Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started this last Monday talking about Paul's secrets to happiness. And you know, I have written down 20 things here from the book of Philippians that Paul spoke about that I believe were the keys to his happiness and to his success. Now, the very first thing that we talked about was from Acts chapter 16. And other than that one example, every one of these other things I've taken from the book of Philippians. So basically, this is a study through the book of Philippians. But the reason I went to Acts chapter 16 for the very first secret or key to Paul's happiness was because that's talking about when Paul got this call to go over into Macedonia and he wound up at Philippi. And this is where he was beaten and put in prison and his feet and hands in the stocks. And at midnight, he went to praising and glorifying God. And the Lord sent an earthquake. The jail doors were open. The chains fell off. The jailer was saved. The people in the prison were saved. It was a tremendous, powerful move of God. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 10, the very first secret to Paul's happiness was that he knew for certain that he was in the center of God's will. And you know, if you know for certain that you're in the center of God's will, you can deal with nearly anything that comes against you. Well, let me rephrase that. You can deal with anything if you know you're in the center of God's will. And I could literally make this point for weeks. You could turn back to the three Hebrew children that went into the fiery furnace. But see, they knew that they were doing what God told them to do. They didn't compromise. They didn't bend. They didn't bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. And even though it cost them being thrown into the fiery furnace that was heated seven times hotter than normal, so hot that the soldiers who threw them in, who were wearing protective clothing and things to keep from being burned, they were killed. They were burnt to a crisp, throwing them into the fire. But they knew that they were doing what God had told them to do. And because of it, there was a peace. They wound up being free. All that came off of them were their chains, their things that bound them. That's all that burned off. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. And there was a fourth person in the fire with them, like the Son of Man that was walking around with them. I believe it was Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus, walking around with them. And all of that happened because they knew that they were doing what God had told them to do. And on you could go. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he did what was right. He did what he knew God called him to do, and he was thrown into a lion's den, but he survived. And he came out of it, and it actually was a stepping stone to greater promotion. And on you could go. You could do all of these things. Moses went down into Egypt and said, "Let my people go," because he had met with God. He knew he was doing what God had called him to do. And even though he was threatened, even though these terrible things happened, Moses prevailed and everything worked. But I'm telling you, you are not going to be successful. You are not going to be fulfilled. You aren't going to have the satisfaction and the peace that God wants you to have unless you know for certain that you are doing what God has called you to do. And I believe that there are many people watching this program that you have a holy dissatisfaction from God because He's trying to let you know that I've made you for something more than this. You're wasting your life. There are some of you that you get up, you go to work, you come home, you watch television, you go to bed, you get up, you go to work, you come home, and it's just a routine. You don't like it. You talk about blue Mondays. You get excited when Friday comes because you are not fulfilled. You aren't happy. You're just spinning your wheels. You're doing what you've got to do to put food on the table. And I tell you, that's miserable. Life is not a dress rehearsal. This is a real thing. You're burning daylight. If you aren't doing what God called you to do, then there is going to be a holy dissatisfaction. And you're never going to experience the full happiness and joy and contentment that you would know if you knew for certain that you're doing what you were created to do. There are some things that God created you to do that I can't do, no one else can do. You are unique. God has put you in a position where you can use what God has done in your life. And I tell you, if you start fulfilling that, if you get into the center of God's will, there is going to be a satisfaction, a joy, a peace, a contentment that comes over you that you can't get if you are outside of God's will. So that was the very first thing. We've already talked about that. I could re-preach all of that. Let me turn over to the book of Philippians. And like I said, this is basically just going to be going through this book of Philippians, a letter that Paul wrote from prison. He was in prison in Rome at this time. And Paul, this is probably the happiest letter that he ever wrote. I think there's 17 times in this book that he used the word joy, rejoice, rejoicing. It's the happiest book. He was praising God. He was more optimistic than any other letter that we have a record of him writing, and yet he was in prison facing possible execution. And yet there is just this tremendous joy. To most people, they cannot rejoice if they have the slightest little bump in the road, much less a situation where you're possibly facing death and unjust imprisonment and being slandered. And at this time that he was in Rome, he had been in prison for 2 years in Judea, and then he was a year in transit going to Rome, and he experienced a shipwreck and was cast upon an island, had a snake bite him, and it looked like he was going to die, but instead he turned it around for revival. And then he had been in prison now in Rome for a year or two. So this is at least 4 years, maybe 5 years or more, that Paul had been in prison, and yet he is just praising God and worshiping God, and he is so joyful. I'm telling you, there are some people today that you think that can happen. It did happen, and it does happen today. And if you would adopt the attitude that Paul had, if you would have his value system, you would be able to rejoice in the midst of whatever is coming your way. Circumstances are not an excuse for being depressed and discouraged. And I know that there's many of you watching this that just can't believe that I said that. And you think, well, you aren't very compassionate. I am compassionate. I'm telling you the truth. It's the truth that's going to set you free. I could get down and wallow in the dirt and the mire and be as depressed and miserable as you are, and you'd think, oh, you're so compassionate. But that's not going to help you. I'm telling you, sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is tell a person the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. John chapter 8, verse 32. So here's Paul speaking in the book of Philippians. He says in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3 he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Boy, there's a lot of things in these verses. I'm not going to be able to bring all of this out, but I just want to point out that I believe the second thing that I'm going to mention that is a secret or a key to Paul's happiness and success was that he thought of other people. He was geared towards other people more than he was geared towards himself. And you can see that right here because he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Paul was in prison. Paul had been in prison for at least 4 years. He had been slandered. He had been shipwrecked. There's just all kinds of negative things going on. And yet, here's Paul saying, every time I pray, I thank God for you. In every prayer. And you know, Paul is the one that said, pray without ceasing. So I believe that Paul was praying constantly, and he was constantly remembering these Philippians and praying for them. Now this says volumes. And this is one of the keys or the secrets to why Paul was able to rejoice even in the midst of prison is because he was thinking about other people. He was praying for them. I'm telling you, if you are depressed and discouraged, and I know some of you are going to take this as a criticism, but again, I'm telling you the truth, trying to help you. If you're depressed and discouraged, if you're fearful, if you've lost hope, it's because you are totally depressed. self-absorbed. You are thinking about yourself. You are focused on yourself and your situation, and you forget other people and all of these kind of things. You know, in the church that I was raised in, they used to have this song that said, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." And they would often use that to counter discouragement and depression and tell you that you just need to think about how blessed you are. And part of that process, they would say, if you are feeling bad over you having some physical sickness, go find somebody, go to a nursing home, go to a hospital and find somebody who's in worse shape than you. And you know what? It'll totally change your impression about you and your situation. There may be some people that you know are dealing with, I don't know, your hair falling out, or you know, it could be a million different things. And I'm not saying that that's not important, but you can just get so tunnel vision on that and you pray and you don't see something happen. And so immediately you're just so depressed and so discouraged until you go find somebody that's fighting cancer, until you find somebody that's had a leg amputated, until you go see one of our soldiers that's lost his limbs and things like this. And all of a sudden you realize, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It changes your perspective when you get outside of yourself and start thinking about other people. And this is a secret or a key to Paul's happiness and why he was so joyful. It's because he was thinking about other people. Right here, he's talking about these Philippians. And notice in verse 5, it says he was praising God for their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That word fellowship in the Greek is the Greek word koinonia. And that word literally means partnership. It was translated partnership. It's talking about that these people had expressed a love and a concern for Paul like no other person had ever done. I'll get into this in more detail when we get over into Philippians chapter 4. But over there you'll see that it says that the Philippians were the only people who ever sent money and supported Paul after he left the local area. I think that's a tragic statement. Paul was this person that gave his life up. He suffered. He was beaten. He was accused. He did all of these things. He just laid his life down to go share the gospel with people. And yet out of all of the people that he ministered to, the Philippians are the only people that sent and blessed him after he left the local area. I think that's tragic. And these people had shown a love and a compassion towards Paul that nobody else had done. And this is what he's saying. I'm praising God for your fellowship, for this koinonia, your partnership in the gospel. And it wasn't only physical. It wasn't only financial, but just their love that they had expressed. And did you know that when Paul was in these negative circumstances in prison for possibly 4 or 5 years, he constantly was encouraging himself by the people who he had touched, their love for him. He was thinking of other people. He had a support system around him. Now, when I say that, it wasn't like what we would talk about today. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have a mail system. There was entire years at a time that he was out of pocket when he was in transition from Judea going to Rome, and he was shipwrecked, and they didn't know where he was. But as soon as they found out that he had arrived in Rome, immediately they began to send and bless him with sending him clothes and sending him parchments, scriptures to read, and things like this. And their love was there. And he had this support system. It wasn't like what we would talk about today. It wasn't on a daily basis, but he just knew that people cared about him. And that's one of the secrets that he had. He had other people. He was outside of himself. I tell you, I meet people all of the time who are depressed and discouraged, and they just live in this little prison that they have made for themselves. They just think about their problems. They won't get out and minister to anybody else. They won't do anything. They just close the door, pull the curtains. They lock themselves in, and they just commiserate and sit there thinking about nothing but their problems. I'm telling you, you are not going to be a happy person if that's you. One of the things you've got to do is you've got to get out of yourself. If you are all wrapped up in yourself, you make a very small package. You need to get out of yourself. You need to go find somebody else. If you're sick, go find somebody else who's sicker than you and go bless them and pray for them and help them. And you know, if nothing else, there's a scripture in Luke 6:38 that says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Now that applies to money, but it's not limited to money. You know, if you need healing in your body, go give healing to someone. Go pray for them. Go find somebody that has the exact thing that you have or something worse, and you begin to pray and intercede and focus on getting them healed. And you know what? As you give, it'll be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. One of the quickest ways to get healing manifest in your life is to go give healing to somebody else. If you need finances in your life, go give finances to somebody else and begin to bless them, and it'll be blessed back to you. If you need joy and happiness, go find somebody that needs some joy and happiness and give to them and bless them. And somebody might be saying, "Well, I don't feel like doing that." I'm going to deal with this more as we get into this, but you know what? Just pull your thumb out of your mouth and do what's right and quit letting feelings dominate you. If you have need in your life, get somebody else and go to meeting their needs. Go to blessing them. And don't go and say, "Man, I'm so miserable myself, but I think I'll give and help you. Maybe it'll help me." That's a wrong attitude. Don't even go tell people about your problems. Go out and just try and be a blessing to somebody else. Go down to the grocery store to someplace and find a person who looks like, man, they just are having a rough day, and just say something nice to them. Compliment them on the way that they look. Say, "God bless you. Have a great day." Do something. You'd be amazed how that would affect you. I don't know exactly, I don't have the words to express this, but you know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Most people are just totally in the receiving mode. That's all they're looking for. I need this, this, and this. But you can actually get to where it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You can get to where you get blessed. I don't know how this works, but when you bless other people, when you go to giving to them financially, emotionally, just friendship, being kind to someone, whatever it is, you go to giving to other people, you're the one that gets blessed. I've seen this. I've been into nursing homes. I've ministered in jails. I've been, in hospitals. I've been in places where people are just desperate. And the compassion of God comes up in you, and you go to loving them, and you go to blessing them, and thinking about someone else, and it helps you. Again, I don't have the right words to express this, but I'm telling you, this is the way it'll work. There are some of you that the reason you're miserable is because you have isolated yourself, and you are so focused on your own problem, you will not let go of it. You will not think about anything else. You won't pray for anybody else. Here's Paul in prison facing possible execution. For 4 or 5 years he had been oppressed. Terrible things happened, and he said, "Every time I pray, I praise God for you. I think about you. I remember your fellowship in the gospel. I remember what you've done for me, the kindness that you've shown to me." Paul was into other people. And I'm telling you, this is one of the secrets of happiness, is that you are going to have to be a person that gets outside of yourself. You need to have something bigger than yourself to live for. That is a powerful truth. I'm telling you this, I just feel like I could camp here for days or weeks talking about this, because our culture has exalted self to a place to where it is ungodly. It's idolatry. You know, it says in Colossians 3:5 that covetousness is idolatry. There are people watching this program that would never bow down to an idol. You would never make an image. You would never burn incense to some kind of an image. But man, you are just focused on yourself. You are covetous. It's all about you. It's all about what you can get. And you don't realize it, but that's idolatry. You have made yourself a god. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying that you aren't important. God loves you, and so that places tremendous value on you. But you are not the only person in this universe. Sad to say, there are a lot of people that this old joke about how many people does it take to screw in a light bulb, With most people, it's just one. You just stand there and hold the light bulb because the whole world revolves around you. You are the center of the universe. You're only thinking about yourself. And I'm telling you, if that is your attitude, which is the prevalent attitude that's in our world today, it's encouraged, it's promoted. And if that is your attitude, you are going to be one miserable, sad person. Because I can guarantee you, life isn't fair. We live in a fallen world. People are going to rub you the wrong way. Things don't go from a state of order to, from a state of disorder to a state of order. They go the opposite direction. Things are going to decay. Things are going to wear out. Something's going to break. Something's always going to be going wrong. And Satan has got plenty of people to come across your path and push your hot button. And if it's all about you, then you are never going to be happy. But you know what? You can get to where you love other people. You can be a channel of God flowing His love through you to other people. You can get to where you think about them. And when you do that, somehow or another, as you give, it's given back unto you. As you show love. You receive more than what you give. As you show compassion and kindness, you receive more back. I'm telling you, there are people watching this program right now that this is a word from God through me to you. And God is telling you one of the things that would break this cycle of depression and defeat and hopelessness and bitterness and anger that you have. Instead of focusing on all of your problems, take a lesson from Paul. Paul was in prison. And here he is thanking God every single time he prayed for these people and their kindness and their goodness and thinking about them and thinking about other people. And he said this in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why he was happy? Because he loved these people and he had prayed for them and he knew God was prospering other people. And if other people are prospering, it didn't matter whether he was prospering or not. You know, I remember a time when I was in Childress, Texas, and we were going through some hard times, and it seems like that the vision God had given me was never going to come to pass. And my situation wasn't that positive. There was a lot of negatives in my situation. But a good friend of mine, Marshall Townsley, who now pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico, he was down south of where I was in Pritchett. I forget the name. I think it was Sylvester, Texas, a little tiny place. And he was down there pastoring, and awesome things were happening. People were being born again, and miracles were happening, and things like this. Now, see, many people, if you had a good friend that both of you started in the ministry at the same time, and if you are struggling and your friend was prospering, there's many people that would take that and you would, this isn't fair. Why aren't I prospering? It was just the opposite with me. I took great joy in thinking, man, the gospel is working through Marshall, even if I can't see it working that well in me. And I believe that this is the attitude that Paul had. He put other people, he thought of other people and stuff, and because of it, it brought joy to him. You ought to be able to look around and receive joy from your connection with other people. I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this on our program tomorrow. I'm totally out of time, so please listen to our announcer and call or write today and receive these materials. I promise you they'd be a blessing. Then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Paul's Secrets to Happiness is available on either CD or DVD as seen on TV. Or if you prefer, you can get the live DVD that was recorded at a Gospel Truth seminar. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled Paul's Secrets to Happiness, Part 1. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Lessons from David for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Thank you, friends and partners. Your investment in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College continues to make disciples worldwide. Meet Melody Cope.
Before I came to Charis, I still loved Jesus. I was in ministry, I was leading small groups, but I didn't see fruit. I saw women and I felt like every once in a while I was changing their lives and affecting them, but not on the same scale that I am now. Charis Bible College has equipped me to be effective in ministering to people. It has grown me from a little tadpole to someone who actually loves people and knows how to minister to them effectively. During my second year at Charis, I was able to go on a two-week mission trip to Germany. I began to develop what God has placed in my heart concerning evangelism and loving people. I desire to go and start different groups in different countries and go out and evangelize and bring people in and disciple them. I can't wait to see what God does next.
Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world for 20 years. Go to charisbiblecollege.org for more information.
I want to share with you that we're going to have a very special ministers conference this coming October. We're going to have Creflo Dollar with us, Dwayne Sheriff, Bob Yandian, Bob Nichols, and myself. In the past, I've only had three speakers, and I've had Bob Nichols and Bob Yandian along with myself for many years. But this year, we're moving up to our new facility in Woodland Park. It'll be the first ministers conference up there. We're doing some very special things. We're exploring having meals up there together. But the main thing is we're going to have all of these new speakers. And I tell you, it's going to be a powerful, powerful time. So I'd like to really encourage you, if you are a minister, whether you're licensed and ordained, but if you are called to full-time Christian ministry, I would like to encourage you to be with us. It's going to be a very, very special time. We've got the dates on the screen, and I encourage you to come and be a part of this. You'll be blessed.